get some perspective on it. And I want to give us a lens to think of that for you, which is the lens of what's needed. What's needed in this time when we think of the church. In this time right now, you have amazing leadership and amazing body and your pastor's struggling. And it's like, well, what's needed? Well, we need to come together. We need to pray. We provide meals. And you guys know what's needed. But let's expand it a little bit bigger and say, what's needed in the world today? I have three boys, and they were asking me last night. They said, hey, so when you were our age, they're all kind of preteen teens, what jobs did you have? And so I went through the jobs, and then I shared one that they're really excited about. And I actually worked for a hot air balloon company. And so, and they're like, wow, did you go up? I said, no, I'll never get up in those things. But we would send people up in the hot air balloon. And then our job was, and this was amazing, is like 17, 18-year-old guys. My friend and I would then get in this van. It was a four-wheel drive van. And our job was to drive through fences or drive through fields, anything, so that when the hot air balloon comes down, because they don't have that much control of where it's going to come down, we have to be there to run and jump on it so it doesn't bounce back up if people get hurt. And so that was the whole deal. And so what was needed, like our whole job, was to be where it landed, jump on it, get the people out safely, and then put a picnic out for them. So kind of crazy. And then we'd eat the leftovers, whatever. So that's the job they want to do. So that's what was needed for that job. What about the world, right? We listen to politicians. We listen to people. What's needed in the world? There's an old song by Dionne Warwick, right? You haven't heard that name recently. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, right? I found a list of 50 people that thought that they shared what they thought the world needed. Here's a few of those. The world needs more avocados, so guacamole isn't so expensive at Chipotle. Okay? These are real. Okay, I think it's Californians too. For the musicians, more cowbell. Okay. Stronger relationships with family and friends. It's a good one. The world needs a national put your phone away for one day. A day of real human communication. Okay. Better parents. Okay. More women who want to date me. One guy said. And another guy said more free Wi-Fi. Lastly, we need more In-N-Out Burger so the rest of the country can discover how good their Double Double is. So that's what they said was needed. But what about the church? We live in a time where the church in some ways is being deconstructed. There's lots of ideas being thrown around, and well, the church needs to become this, or the church needs to stop being this to really do what they're supposed to do. So there's all sorts of ideas, but I think really what the church needs is the church needs more of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what the church needs, because if we try to set out to do the things that Jesus said the church is supposed to do, or if we try to set out to do what our vision means or anything without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we're just trying to follow directions. We're just trying to go after something. And so let's pray, and then we're going to work through this message here. God, thank you for these people. Thank you for the love that they have for each other. Thank you for the love that they have for Ron and Kim and the Ost family. And God, we ask for more of you. Would you come and continue to come, Lord, as you've been so present this morning, Holy Spirit, and reveal yourself to us and pour yourself upon us that we might become more like you. Speak in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing is, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? So some of you are like, well, what is that? What's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So Jesus, as he was getting ready to be done with his earthly ministry, started sharing with his disciples some things about, like, hey, the end is near. Here's what's going to happen. And in one of those conversations, he shared about that it's good that he goes away, because then he will ask the Father to send another advocate, someone that's like him, which was the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 17, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So in other words, someone like Jesus. So if you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, he's like Jesus. To help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So this is amazing. We look back and we have 20/20 vision, right? But they're hearing that not only is the Father going to send someone like Jesus, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit, and he's going to move in with you. You get a roommate. In the language that he uses of being baptized, or that he will live with you and in you, is like in the language of immersion. It's like swimming. You go swimming or hop in a lake or a pool, and you're just kind of the waters around you. Like, that's what he's talking about. Like, that God is going to be that close that when he goes, there's not any pocket gods where somebody can just say, hey, here's my God, or there's not small gods, or, here's my God that I figured out, here's the formula. But, like, the one that's coming is you're going to experience God in such a way that you're just immersed in him. That's what Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And so Jesus knew that what they needed, the first church, most of all, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they needed to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And so it is for today. Now, the different camps on this, and this is a total generalization, I'm making it way more simple than it is, but you have over here, you go way over here as far as Pentecostal, and so they would say baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, you, at conversion, you receive the Holy Spirit, but then there's a second thing needed for you to be activated with the gifts, and certain gifts are signs of that's actually happened. And then you go way over to the other side with super strict, like, evangelical, dispensational, which is like, yes, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's at conversion. And you may not feel anything, but it's good. It's okay. And it all kind of ceased, so it's not there. And so there's this tension there amongst the groups. John Wimber, when he was establishing the theology of the Vineyard movement, he tried to find a context for the baptism of the Holy Spirit within a kingdom perspective. So in other words, that God's kingdom is being ushered in, that it's a battle, like many of you guys have talked about today, against the kingdom of Satan and against the kingdom of man setting up his own kingdom. There's a battle going on. The invasion's coming. So how do we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit within that? And this is some things that Wimber said about that. This is what he said. It's a simple fact. God has a work of conversion. God has a work of empowerment. It can occur simultaneously. It can occur sequentially. It can occur with a long intermission in between the two, or it can occur in a short period of time. But the bottom line is that it needs to occur. It is the infilling and empowering of the church, and we need that in order to accommodate the work of God. Conversion is truly a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is no reason we cannot use baptism to refer subsequent fillings of the Spirit as well. And I do. And so Jesus seemed to think that it was very important that the church would be filled with the Spirit, and so it is today. Also, we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, so this is after Jesus resurrected from the grave, like 2,000 plus years ago, same time, right? Similar time of year. He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So something different, a different experience. So he gave them these commands. This is what you see in those verses, if you look at it here. Do not leave. Okay? So even though you've been with me for 3 years, you need something else. It's just not following the directions. Wait. Okay? Wait for it. And then also, too, he says it's the gift that his Father promised. I mean, who doesn't want that? Something that the Father promised, a gift that he would give. And so this is the picture that we see is of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need this? Why do I say that it's the biggest thing that the church needs today? Well, number one, we receive God's power. We receive God's power when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we can all think of problems or frustrations in our lives. We can think of things that we would like to change. Like this morning, you came here with things that in your life that you're frustrated and you probably spent a lot of time praying about. And guess what? They're never going to change. There's things that we, day in, day out, we have zero control over. But then there's things in our lives that if we become a different person, everything changes. That's the power that Jesus is talking about. Is that the power to change even me. To transform even me. That's what's happening here. And that's what he's talking about. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really has to do with changing our character to be like Jesus. Yes, signs and wonders come. Yes, miracles come. Yes, healings come. But the most important thing that we would be able to be as witnesses to the end of the earth is that we would become a people that could be as witnesses to the end of the earth. That's what's needed. To be like him, to have his character, to go to that place. And so what the church needs now is really the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For me, I wasn't raised in church, and so anytime I like go to a new church family like this and hang out and worship, even though I've been a pastor for 20 years and been a Christian for close to 30, I'm still a little like I kind of try to figure out what's going on. What's God doing here, and who are they, and how do we worship? And first church I went to was a Vineyard church as a teenager, and I had no idea about anything. Never been in a church before, never read the Bible, curious about God. But then I went on this ski trip, and my conversion wasn't this like praying this exact prayer and doing this thing. You talk about like prayer language. I was swearing the whole way up in the van. They're like, who is this kid? And so I think I had such a powerful experience because the leaders were like, this kid needs to come to Jesus. It's really, really bad. And so, on the second night we were there, they're playing worship, and just like we're here today, and they gave an invitation and talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus and salvation, and all I know is it was just like love just surrounding me. And I'm sitting there, and I felt like the language I used then was like I felt like I was just floating throughout the room. But now I have language. It was, I came to know Jesus. I came to salvation. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was immersed in him. Absolutely amazing. And then many times afterwards, too. I hate to break it to you, but it didn't all, get cleaned up that night. And so here, 30 years later, that prayer you pray to the Lord? Like, how long, Lord? I feel like the Trinity says, how long with me? How long till he kind of gets it? It's been 30 years. So he's still working in me. But I remember those early years of following Jesus. Just many times he would just come. And it wasn't like I was doing a religious thing. That's what we need to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a religious thing. It's not a religious act. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is God loving me, loving you, sharing his life with us. It's a relational thing. It's God face to face with us. And so that's something to remember, is that when we receive power, it's him sharing his life with us. The next thing is we experience God's presence together. I had a professor, and he said this, about spiritual maturity. Like Ephesians 4 and other passages in the New Testament talk about the church being mature, like that they would be strong together and be what Jesus intended. And he said this about spiritual maturity, that spiritual maturity is something that we do together or not at all. So in other words, if you pull back and you are like out in the desert, and you've got your place and you're like, people are just going to come to me because I've found it. It doesn't work that way. The only way that you can be mature, the only way that I can be mature is with each other. That's how it happens. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is needed in the church because it's part of the way that we become mature. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, which we're working our way towards here, it says this. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so what happens is, and the reason I'm pointing this out is that you have these people experiencing real stuff, like there's a sound. So the senses are being engaged here. They saw what the Holy Spirit was doing. It came to rest on them. Okay, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. So they were engaged in what was happening. And so the church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it's part of the way that we grow mature. And the way that we do that is, for instance, I've had times where I had like unbelief going on in my heart, in my mind. Or there was a time where like I walked away from the Lord. I was trying to run, but he's faster than I am. And so he was always there. But I had some friends that when I just laid it all down finally and just said, you know what, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of doing my thing. And Lord, you know, here I am. And my friends gathered around me and prayed over me. And it was, but I didn't sense, like, you know, I shared about like just the resting of the Holy Spirit that I sensed when I first came to know him. I didn't sense that or feel that. So I shared that with them. And I said, it's kind of weird. I'm just sensing this. And what they did is they confirmed a word that I felt God spoke to me. Because as I turned my heart back to God, and I was just like, Lord, I surrender it all back to you again. And I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel the presence. I didn't feel. But then I heard his voice. Right? Hearing is a part of it. And so we don't want to worship one mode of what it looks like. But this is what he spoke to me. He goes, I said, well, where's your presence? Where's that, what that feeling? And he says, no. You're going to commit to me now. I'm like, okay, I'm in. And then a couple weeks later, I was with these friends, and they're praying over me. I'm like, guys, but here's the deal. It's like, I've given my heart back, and I'm these things, but I don't feel this feeling. I don't feel God, the Holy Spirit resting on me. And they're like, well, here's the deal. We feel like what God's doing with you is that he's taking you. You got to commit to him now. I hadn't told him. He's going to make it so that you're obedient to him. So he can give you little things to obey. And that's him pouring his Spirit on you. And as you do that, you're going to get to know his voice better. And then he's going to give you bigger things to obey. And that's the theme of my Christianity, my spirituality, and Jesus says, if you love me, you obey. Right? Our love is shown by obedience. And so the body of Christ, the reason we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit together, the reason we need it, is that we can come to each other and help each other. Because typically the baptism of the Holy Spirit will happen through other people. And so for some of you today, I know we're talking about feeling and different things. And for some of you, you're saying like, well, no, I read the directions, right? I read the directions in the book. I've never felt anything. I just read the directions, right? That's like going to your wedding day, and it's like you say the vows, and you're like, well, I've never felt what I said, but I read them. And so here's the thing. You will have times like me where I don't sense the same feeling with the Holy Spirit, but here's the deal. We're either playing games, and God is an idea or a philosophy or a system, or God is a person. And if God is a person, then I can experience him. Yeah. And so sometimes, like if you're here today and you're saying like, this all sounds good, but I've never felt him, or I've never sensed his presence, or I've never experienced that. And don't get in your mind like other people, because he's personal with you. But if you say I've never sensed him, or if I've never felt his love, or I've never sensed his presence, or like this, the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like being immersed in him, and never felt anything, then that's where the church body comes in and help walk through. Because it could be that you had somebody that said, danger, right? You know, stay away from the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit's dangerous. You could have sin in your life. Something you haven't given over. You could be playing religious games. And you're walking through trying to follow Jesus, and you like the philosophy and you like the things, but it's more kind of like self-improvement. Just like, hey, this is a good idea. But the deal hasn't been sealed yet. Because God is a person, and we know that by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why God gives us the body to be able to facilitate that for each other. Now, in times, the Holy Spirit will fall on you when no one's around, right? Like, quite honestly, when Shannon texted me, I read this about this, and I'm like, okay. And I'm sitting there at the desk working, and I felt the Holy Spirit fell on me right there. It's like, what are we talking about? What series are you in? And it's like, oh, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. We're okay. So, but typically it's going to happen with the body. It's how we mature. It's how we help each other. The next thing and the last thing is this. And then let's do some of this. Okay? I heard you guys do that, right? You guys pray for each other and that sort of thing? Okay? Let's do some Latin. Okay, and I just want to read this last part. And so, typically, the way that the body ministers the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, or filling of the Holy Spirit, here's the deal. And I mean, if you disagree, we can talk afterwards. That's okay. But let's just keep it simple. We need it. Okay, and however you slice it, you may be on either end of the spectrum I talked about, or in the middle. We need it. We absolutely need it. We have a world that needs it. You have a pastor that needs it. Like, if you were to ask Ron, well, what does the church need during this time? More of the Holy Spirit. If you were to say, well, look at my marriage right now. What do I need in my marriage? I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of God working in my heart and my life. Because here's the deal. It's like, you ever try to walk faster than somebody that's walking on one of those. I don't know what they're called, those horizontal escalators at the airport, right? They can go a lot quicker because there's power behind it. My laptop computer that I use, the battery's dead. So I have to keep it plugged in or it just goes dead. There's no power in itself. It needs that. The battery's dead. Spiritually, that's how we are. We've got to keep plugged in. And so what is it today? Is I want you thinking as we go into a time of praying for each other ministry, what is it today? Like, what are you trying to figure out? Is it your finances? There's principles and things that help you with finances and marriage and relationships and all these things. Those help, but here's the deal. Do you really just want to do it by yourself? Do you always want to carry yourself with your own feet? Do you always want to be in the driver's seat? It's tiring. But see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about just like, hey, let me take that for you. Let me help you. Now, it's not automatism where God just takes care of everything. We don't have to do anything. But when God's working with us and God's working on it, boy, isn't it different? Isn't it different when it's like that? So what is it today? What is it that maybe kept you up last night? I would say that for some of us, it's like with Ron going through this, with your pastor going through this, your fear is like worse than if you're watching CNN for an hour right now. Because we get this fear. Like, the world is just drenching in fear about what's going to happen to me or what's going to... But here's the deal. Is God good or not?
Yes.
Is this his world or not? Right? And so with seeing this with Ron, it's like, well, gosh, if that could happen to Ron, what would happen to me? Or what would happen to my family? These things. And here's the deal. God works powerfully in weakness. He doesn't cause things like with what's going on with Ron. He didn't cause that. What did Jesus say in the end of chapter 16 of John? He said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so that means he's going to work in the midst of everything that's going on. And what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we're going to stretch Scratch the rest. So what the Holy Spirit is doing in you guys in this time, is there something in you that's rising up? There's something in you that's rising up during this time. And it's love. It's recalibrated you as far as what's important. It's helping you understand what's really what life is about. And also, too, recognizing who you are as a church body. I mean, Jesus changed the whole world through love. Jesus changed the whole world by laying down his life. Sacrificial love, sacrificial service. And I believe that's what God's rising up in you guys. You're already doing it. But the Lord's infusing you guys with this spirit. The Lord's infusing you with his life. And it's not something that you can say, it's like, hey, I need to do X, Y, Z. But it's like, hey, let me fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let me fill you with more of my life so that you can be like me and so you can do the things that I do. That's what he's doing in our midst. And just the last thing is we're empowered for something bigger than us. And I'm not going to read through the scriptures because of time. But, you know, Peter, in this passage, Peter later on, the guy that ran, the guy that failed, the guy that quit, the guy that gave up, the baptism of the Holy Spirit made such a difference that now that's gone. And now it says, I love it. It says that Peter stood up with the 11. You know, and you had to know that the 11 were like, oh no, what is he going to say? Right? But he gets up and he preaches this sermon and 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit not only just falls upon them, but falls upon the disciples, but also upon them at that place. That's the conversion that took place. And then you see this ripple out from there. But see, I think that's what you guys want. That's my understanding of the substance of this congregation, is that you guys are of a substance that the things that you see around you, the needs that you see around you, not just in the body, but in your neighborhoods and in your city, that you realize that Jesus is the answer, but more importantly, Jesus in you is the answer. That's my understanding. My understanding is that you guys love the Holy Spirit. My understanding is that you guys see yourselves on mission during this time. My understanding is that you understand that as Jesus said that his job was to set the captives free and to go all throughout the earth, and whether it's here or everywhere, to do that. My understanding is that your life is not in anything else, but it's in Christ. That's my understanding of your congregation. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys didn't know you were that good, did you? That's the word on the street. You know? That's the word on the street. You guys love each other. You love your community. And so let's have the band come back up and let's just have a time of doing like what we talked about, because how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So it's very similar to conversion, so when someone gives their life to Christ, and that may be you this morning, that you say, yeah, all right, this is the time, I'm in, you know, I'm ready to get out of the driver's seat, let Jesus drive, surrender my life to him, I'm tired of doing my own, I recognize what he's done for me. I want that. That may be you this morning. But the person that says that to Jesus and then receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receives the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit moves in with him, like Jesus said, he'll be with you and in you. What do they have to do? They have to surrender, right? There's a humility about them. And so, in the same way, like if in our time here today, to say, like, well, if I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or whatever word you want to use, refreshed or renewed, or I want more of the Holy Spirit, or I want any of those things, it's a surrendering. It's an openness to laying down, like, your strength. Because, you know, the world will tell us time and time again that we need to be stronger. You know, the things that happen in life, well, if you can just be stronger, if you can just figure out this thing, and books and all sorts of things are written on it. But the problem isn't that we're not strong enough, it's that we're too strong. Right? What did Paul write? That he prayed several times, God, take this infirmity away from me. I prayed three times, take it away. And what does God say? That my power is made perfect in weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness.